Amen. Amen. Anniversary. What a thing. Anniversary, 33 years. It's an honor. It's an honor to serve the Lord here at Faith Baptist Church for 33 years. We traveled up here for years. We traveled up from Washington, D.C., not for years, but for months we traveled up. And then the Lord gave us a place next door. We moved up here and then went on. And, you know, and God gave us our own property. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, you know I got a mansion in heaven, but I'd like to have my own property. And Lord, he answered that prayer. And what a blessing that was. And then I asked the Lord for a bigger place, and he burnt the other one down. So the Lord has a way, a funny way of answering prayers. He does. He really does. Hebrews chapter 2. And let's look at verse 1. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. People slipping up. They call it slipping up, or people slipping back. And we sometimes, I preach on backsliding, and sometimes we backslide. But it says that we should take earnest heed of the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? If you think about it, if God brought judgment like he ought to, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He says, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders. We don't have signs and wonders that give to us because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. We don't go by signs and wonders. The Jews did. In the Old Testament, if a Jew of a prophet came up and said, this is going to happen, that's going to happen, and then he would give a sign or a wonder about it, what's going to happen. If it didn't come true, they'd kill that prophet because they say he was a false prophet. And the Jews require signs. The Bible tells us that. Jews require signs. You and I don't require signs. We don't go out and say, God, give me a sign. Give me a sign. You don't require a sign. God said the just shall live by faith. And that's what we're supposed to do. And you got a book that's a complete book on how to live by faith. For God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Unto the angels hath he not put in subjection, the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That's a question. What is man? The Bible says a man's a worm, just a worm. But God, he says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower, talking about Jesus Christ, or man. He said, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. And Adam, when he was in the garden, God did that. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. And it says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. It became human flesh. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And it came to, notice that it says taste death for every man. And that's why the Bible says taste and see the Lord is good. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctified and they that are sanctified are all of one. But which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Talking about those that trust him and the Jews. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And you know, reading your Bible, you'll find that the Lord reveals himself just like Joseph did to his brothers. And he's going to do that one day. The Jews don't believe Jesus Christ Messiah, but one day he's going to reveal himself when he comes back to fight for them, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And that's where a lot of churches slip up and they come short. They slip up by not singing praises to him. They come into church, they when they sing, they don't mean it. They'll sing songs and they you know, they don't really mean what they're singing. When they were singing, how great thou art, he is great. He is great. When we sing those songs, we ought to mean it. I went to a black funeral one time, and I was preaching a black funeral right over here in Hartley. And the black preacher, or the black man that I was down here somewhere, I met him. I forget how I met him. And we had Mrs. Phillips used to come to church here. Mrs. Phillips was a black lady that loved the Lord, and she'd come to our church. And I was invited. I seen this guy, and I'd sing to him. I went to the hospital, and I started singing to him in his hospital bed. And I started singing like a black man to him. And he loved it. He told his wife, she come walking in there, and he said, that's the man I want to preach my funeral. And his wife, I didn't know it, she was supposed to be a reverend. And so he ended up dying, and they called me up and said, he wants you to preach your funeral, would you come? I said, yeah, it was right over in Hartley. Mrs. Phillips went with me, and Sandy went with me, and they met me there. And Miss Phillips and Sandy kind of hung out together. And it was an all-black church, and I'm in there, and I'm sitting on the platform, and all these black preachers are there, and women, there were women black preachers, and I'm sitting on the platform, and the choir must have sang 7 or 8 songs. You ever been to a black funeral, it goes on for 3 and 4 hours. It ain't like, like the white people, they could have an hour and then we're out of here. And the black churches, they have, that's why you can get to the restaurant at 12:30, you'll be good, because the black churches don't get out about 2 or 3. So I'm sitting on the platform, and the choir over here, they were singing, and they were jumping up and down, and the whole platform was shaking. It looked like I was doing this. I'm just shaking. And the black preacher was sitting next to me, the pastor of the church. Well, he had me in the back room and had me walk in. We were singing. We were singing the Lord's, Psalms 23. That's what we were doing. We walked in. It was pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool when we did it. And they had two black ladies in the back that wore white gowns, a white, nurse's outfit, the old nurse's outfit. And that's in case somebody passed out in the service, they'd go up and run over there and take care of them. And because it gets on. It really does. It gets on. And if y'all know me, I like it when it gets on. I like it. But I'm sitting on the platform, and this black preacher, he kept looking at me. Things were getting on. And people were jumping up in the aisle. They were dancing in the aisle, all kinds of stuff. And they were dancing all over the platform. I was the only one not dancing. And they were up there in front of me, they were talking about cutting the rug. They were cutting the rug. And they were all dancing around. They were looking at me. And I wasn't just sitting there. I'm just sitting there watching. And Mrs. Phillips was sitting back there watching me, and she was laughing so hard. And she said, what were you laughing about? She said, preacher, you look like the cream in Oreo cookies sitting up there. And she cracked me up. Miss Phillips, she'd love to go with us. Whenever we went away with the teenagers and the kids, Miss Phillips would go with us. Miss Nunn, Miss Phillips. And we'd be on the bus, and all I had to do is say, Miss Phillips, I said, them boys back there acting up, and Dwayne and Drisco, all them boys. I said, them boys are acting up back there. Go straighten them out. And she'd run back there, and she said, preacher said, y'all better straighten up. And they would mess with her. They'd always mess. And I look back, and she's on top of them, slapping them, and they're laughing, and she's slapping the snot out of them. But at this black church, they had the casket right there, and everybody's dancing around. It went on the singing went on for a couple hours. And they were dancing around, and then they had people stand up. And then one guy stood up in the middle of the service, and he said, Brother Burris, the guy's name was Burris. He said, Brother Burris liked this song. And he started singing. Everything got quiet. And he started singing, Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. You know how they do. And I tell you what, I felt like a beehive turned loose in my soul. I'm not kidding. When he started singing that song, I got loose. I started standing up, and I started shouting. And man, all them black preachers, they were looking at me like, this guy done flipped out. And they weren't doing nothing. They were just sitting on the platform. They weren't dancing now. They weren't doing nothing. Nobody was doing nothing. And everybody's just sitting there. So man, when he kept singing that song, then he said, when he got to the part, then sings my soul, my Savior. Man, I tell you what stirred me up. I'm running up and down that front of that platform and in their faces, screaming in their faces. And they were like, my God, what is the matter with this dude? And man, I tell you what, I got so stirred up. And when he was singing, I took off and jumped off the platform and jumped right over the casket and ran down the aisle. And I'm in their people's faces screaming and yelling and shouting. And I look back and I seen his wife look over at one of the guys singing. She went like this. And then I looked at the platform and they were all slapping each other fire. They said, he's getting it now. He's getting it now. He's on fire now. And that man, that other, and when I finished preaching, the pastor, he said, well, my turn to preach. So he preached on drunkards. He preached on everything. And I was shouting at him. And man, shouting back at him. He was preaching on fornication. He at a funeral. He preached on everything. And I mean, I was like, yeah, amen, preacher, amen. And he was like, yes, sir, that's what I'm be doing. I'm going to be preaching on that. And man, we just preaching at each other. And I went away from there that day after 4 hours. 3.5 hours, 4 hours. I'm riding up the road and I'm laughing. I'm going, woo, Lord, that was good. That was good. And I don't know why I told you that story, but anyway, let's go on back. Singing praises on verse 12 and saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, for as much them then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, talking about Jesus, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There's people fearing death. Fear. I don't want to die before my time. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to die before my time. But I want to keep on serving God. But, you know, I don't have to fear about dying, going to hell. I know that. I got that settled. If you haven't got that settled, you need to get it settled. And verily, he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, talking about the Jews, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. I like that. Merciful. You know what? We all got what we deserve this morning. We know it. If you're sitting here, you ought to know it. If we got what we deserve, we'd be in hell with our back broken, our eyes scratched out. He says, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Father, we thank you, God, this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for church. Thank you for building. We can come to. Thank you for the pews and the songbooks. And most of all, thank you for the word of God that we can preach from, we can read, and gives us encouragement and gives us strength. And I pray, God, you'd encourage the saints today. Save that soul, and we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach on some things that God's not going to save you from. And Jesus Christ, he'll save your soul. If you'll call on him, he'll save you. And boy, you'll be able to share in his glory. And as a pastor, I'm obligated by God to preach the whole counsel of God. And he also obligates me to feed the sheep. He says, man, feed the sheep that he purchased with his own blood. But you can lose out with God. You know, you can be saved and you can lose out. Like Brother Mike was talking about that in Sunday school. You can lose out with the Lord. You can lose out some things. And you can, when Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly, you can lose out on the abundant life by living your life the way you want to live it. You can miss out. You can miss out, lose out on it. You can miss out on joy, man. You can lose on having the joy of the Lord. I mean, the Bible says what the joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. I mean, you can lose out on joy. And people sitting around, I've had, people worrying about this, worrying about that. I said, hey, man, I know it's real. This stuff is real. We're not making light of it. It's real what's going on. But you can lose out on joy. You'll start fretting and worrying. The Bible says, fret not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You got to trust God. It comes down to your faith and trust in God. And the Bible says, trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. He said, preacher, what happens if you get coronavirus? Well, I fight it. My body will fight it. I'll go in the hospital or whatever. I mean, we'll have to fight it. But I'm not going to be stupid to go out and just find somebody got coronavirus and go out there and hug and kiss them. Amen. And I'm not going to do that. But you can lose out on joy. You can lose out on love. You can lose out on the love of God. Well, I remember Rex Harrison used to sit there at the piano, and when we was down in Pensacola, he would sing, "Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless and strong." It, you know, he sang that song, man, it stirred me up thinking about how much God loves us. I mean, how much he cares. You know, the Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. You read over in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, you read that last couple of verses, 38, 39, and it says nothing can separate us from the love of God. I mean, God loves me. We sing them songs, you know, he loves me like I was his only child. Never felt so loved before. I can never ask for more. He loves me like I was his only child. God really loves me. Yes, he does. Thank God. You can lose out on that love. I'm talking about having feeling the love of God. I mean, God loves you. He loves you. Well, does he like you? But I mean, you can lose out on that love of God and having the peace of God and the joy of the Lord. And you can lose out on your testimony. I mean, you can lose out on having a good testimony for the Lord. You say, what happens if I messed up my testimony? Well, start over. Get it right now. Get your testimony right. Get your life right. And say, look, I messed up. Yeah, I messed up. I know some people that have been messed up for 20 years. And they can get it right. They can get it right now. You can lose out on your testimony. You can lose out on the power of God. Some Christians never experience the power of God in their life. To overcome sin, to overcome problems in their life. They never experience that power. Or they'll have a little taste of it. And I tell you what, we want all the power of God that we can get. Amen? And when I was going to Bible school, we all went up to, seven of us. We left Bible school, went up to the camp meetings up in North Carolina. And you said, what were you doing? We were seeking for the power of God. And the power of God is not something mystical or something or something strange. The power of God is just used consistently, living for God, doing what's right, reading your Bible, praying, and being a witness for him, and being a testimony. And God gives you his power. And the power come in your life to be able to be a witness for him. And some people make it some kind of mystical, strange thing. This guy comes floating out the office, you know, and all of a sudden he's got this halo over his head. And man, he's got a cloud that's following him there. And then their fire turns into all kinds of stuff. They got mystical stuff. But it's not mystical. The power of God is not mystical. I mean, you can have the power of God to overcome things in your life. And in this life, as Christians, they'll never experience it. And you say, man, what's the matter? Why? How come? And, you know, it's because some things God's going to allow you to go through. He's going to allow you to go. I mean, you think about the saints of God in the Old Testament and the New Testament, what they went through, God allowed that. Sometimes the Lord delivered the saints. You read about in your Bible, in the book of Acts, you read where God delivers them, and sometimes he chooses not to. I mean, sometimes you say, well, brother, these brothers got the coronavirus. Sometimes he chooses to allow them to have it, and sometimes he chooses not to let them have it. You know why? I think sometimes the Lord knows who can take it and who can't. Who can be a testimony and who won't be. And who will lose it. Who will not lose their testimony over something like that. And the Lord, he allows it. Now take your Bible, look in 1 Corinthians. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. God allows things in your life. And I know that. And some things we bring upon ourselves. I realize that too. We bring trouble and trials, which we shouldn't have. I mean, this life, you're going to have enough trouble and trial with living for God than to go out and try to find some more trouble and trial to come in your life. And you'd be a fool to do something like that. But God's not going to save you from some certain things in your Bible. It tells us that he's not going to save you from. It says, verse chapter 10 of verse 1 Corinthians, and look at verse 31. Look what it says. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And then it tells you, it says, and back up to verse 13, that's the verse I was looking for, and it says, verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Be careful how you think your pride cause you to fall. It says, there have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. There's no temptation taking you that's common to man. You're going to go through trials and temptations just like anybody else. Jesus Christ, you say, was he tempted? Oh, yeah, man. Oh, yeah. And the Lord, he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. The Bible says he was yet without sin. But you're going to be tried. And what happens is people think, well, I get saved. Once I get saved, everything should be hunky-dory. I mean, I shouldn't have to have no more trouble. And so like Obama, when he became president, everybody said, oh, he's going to pay all my bills. No, it ain't going to happen like that. You're going to go through some troubles. You're going to have some trials. And you're going to face some things. Temptation will come in your life. And he says, but the Lord says, there is no temptation taking you, but such as common to man. And it says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. The Lord wants you to, you know, you say, why would God bring temptation in my life? It's just like when you go in the military, they put you through trials. They put you through boot camp. Why? It's to make you a better man. So when you get on the battlefield, you don't come apart. You don't fall apart. And you'll fight and you'll know how to fight. They're training you, preparing you. And God's preparing his children. He prepares you, allows you, the little things come in your life. When I first got saved, I was just a baby Christian. The Lord didn't bring some great trial in my life. My brother was killed. Now, you know about that. I went out and said, God, if you're there, I want to know. And I was cursing him. But then the things after I got saved, it was just, man, I didn't go through a whole lot of heavy temptation. And then as I got further and got stronger, and the Lord started allowing things in my life. Why? Not to be cruel to me, not to hurt me, but to get me to a point where I could be here today, where I could stand for him today, and you too. He allows things in your life. Folks, if I never went through anything, I couldn't stand up here today. If I never went through things being tried as a child of God, you could never go through it. You could never stand up and say, hey, man, God's going to bring it through it. Everything's going to be all right. Trust the Lord with all thy heart. Jesus says, take your Bible. Look in Matthew chapter 6. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Look at this. He's going to allow you to go through some things, and you're going to go through it. We have brothers and sisters went through cancer. We've had brothers and sisters going home to be with the Lord, and broke my heart. I mean, brothers, sisters, I tell you what, when we lose somebody in our church that I love, and I mean, we love, and man, I tell you, it just tears me up inside. I wake up in the middle of the night praying, crying, asking God, help us. And man, I tell you what, I know what it's like. I know exactly what it's like. The temptations, the Lord said, you know, there's no temptation taking you but such as common man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will also make a way of escape. The Lord's always made a way, always. And that's what you got to get to the point. You got to realize God's in control. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 8 or 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seeking you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. It might not be what you want. It might not be what you think. It says, look, you ask the Lord and he'll give you an answer one way or another. I always say this. God answers yes, no, or not now. And then at verse 9, for what of what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, shall he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to get good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? And Jesus is talking here, and then look on down to verse 12. Wherefore all things whatsoever ye would that men would do to you, do ye so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And enter ye in the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And then the Lord says, beware of false prophets. And verse 15, beware of false prophets which come in you sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raveling wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. You know, God says, there's some things I won't deliver you from. There's some things you're going to go through. There's some problems you're going to have. You're going to have preachers come up that are going to be, and people come up as false prophets and try to tell you a bunch of stuff. But the Bible says they're raveling wolves. Look out. And the Lord says, I'm just going to let you pray and seek me over these things. You know what the Lord's trying to teach us? To pray. He's saying, Lord, is this right? That right? Or is this wrong? Praying not to fall. Praying, God, keep me safe. God, help me to love you. Help me to go on for you. I mean, the temptations come in my life. God, I'm being tried. Help me not to fail you. Help me not to give up. Help me keep on going. And the man, Lord's going to allow it. He's going to allow things. And he's not going to stop it until, I mean, man, you go through the trial and the troubles in this life. Look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Look what the Bible says again. Luke chapter 8. He'll allow you to go through it, but he'll also make a way of escape for every child of God. And if you'll call on him. And some Christians, man, what happens, they get bitter, they get mad at God, and they won't call on God. And I've talked to people, they say, well, me and God have an understanding. He don't talk to me, and I don't talk to him. I said, that's sad. That's sad. Sad state. You're saved. And that's why I said, Brother Glenn Stocker's mama never told him about Jesus Christ. What a sad state for a Christian people, somebody being saved, never open their mouth about Jesus Christ or try to teach their children and tell them about Jesus Christ and get them saved that they might live for God. The Bible talks about the parable of the sower. Look in Luke chapter 8 and look at verse 11. And then he says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil. It is telling you what's going to happen. It tells you, I mean, the word of God is a seed. And those are by the wayside are they that hear. And then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And you run into people all the time. They've heard the word of God. America, how many times do you think you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody in America that never heard about Jesus Christ? You'd be hard-pressed. Now, for them to understand it is another thing. What the devil will do is try to keep them away from somebody that has the word of God and keep them away so they don't understand. And look at the Bible says. But the Lord knew my heart. I didn't understand about salvation. I didn't know anything. But I went outside and said, God, you blankety blank. If you're up there, I want to know. And he answered my prayer because I meant it. I meant it. And it says, take away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And they are on the rock. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root. That's why it's important for Christians to get rooted and grounded. The Bible tells us, rooted and grounded in the word of God, which for a while believe. And then it says, in a time of temptation. Woo! How many folks you think is going to fall away by the coronavirus? How many Christians you think is going to fall away because of the coronavirus? Well, why did God allow this to happen? Why did my family get affected? Why did this happen? Well, God, if there's a God in heaven and he's a God of love, then why did he let this happen? There's going to be a coming and falling away. People are going to fall away from God. He's going to allow it to happen. I just don't want to be one of them. I don't want to be one of them. After reading the Bible, knowing what the Bible says about it, I don't want to be one of them. He's going to allow temptation in your life. He's not going to save you from it. He's not going to save you from it. You're going to be tempted. We was over there with Brother Gary Lutrick 2 weeks ago, Saturday. Gary Lutcher come down. He's in the hospital right now. And we were over there, and we ordained Brother John Black. Brother Mike, myself, we were down on our knees. And you'd say, would that worry you that Gary has? No, it didn't worry me. I'm not worried about it. I'm trusting the Lord. We don't have it. The Lord's been good to us. And, we shook hands, hugged each other. So are you worried about it? I'm not worried about it. I'm going to trust the Lord. He said, what happens if you get it?
I wasn't worried about it until you brought it up.
Yeah, I hugged Gary. I hugged him. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Matter of fact, I think Alex kissed Gary. Yeah, Alex was with us. Did y'all see Alex kiss Gary? No. Anyway, it says, for hope, in a time of temptation, fall away. So you can see everybody running away from Alex this morning. And look at verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares of this world. Cares and riches and pleasures this life. and bring no fruit into perfection. Boy, that's another sad one. No fruit. None. Can you imagine? You said, well, preacher, I can't imagine that. Can you imagine standing before the Lord and you never had anything to show for your life? Nothing. God's not going to deliver you from temptation unless you ask him. Lord, don't let me fall in temptation. And you know what the prayer is? Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. You ask him, Lord, I don't want to be tempted. I don't want to fall in temptation. So you make it hard on yourself to be tempted. Look at 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2. God's not going to deliver you from it. You know what? Brother Mike was talking about, you know, the Antichrist, when he shows up, they'll be able to recognize him because of what the Bible says he's going to be. And you can recognize temptation when it's coming. You can recognize it. And you know what Joseph did? He fled from it. Run from it. You recognize it, you run from it. But look at chapter 2, verse 1. It says, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even if there should be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. We've seen that. Brother, I've been here 33 years today. And we've seen people come in with these heresies, man, and try to teach some heresies and try to get people to follow them, who privately bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth is shall be evil spoken of. The way of truth has always been evil spoken of. Always. And through covetousness shall they frame words made merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved in the judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, being in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them. He said, I don't know about that Sodom and Gomorrah. You can go over and see where Sodom and Gomorrah was. It's where the Dead Sea is. Nothing grows there. We were there. We seen it. You know what they got? They got a hotel there called Lot Hotel. I said, I ain't staying in that one. I ain't staying there. We rode by. I said, you got to be kidding me. Lot Hotel. Good night. A lot of Christians say, oh, I want to stay over there. Let me get a picture in front of Lot Hotel. I don't want no picture in front of Lot Hotel. Lot is not one of the guys I want to follow. He said, how did he end up? Well, he ended up in the cave committing incest with his own daughters. And his two children, which supposed to have been his grandkids, ended up being the enemies of God. It says, turning the cities in Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemning them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly. Delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And then it says, for that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, check this out. You say, where are we at? We're the same position as Lot when it comes to hearing the filthy conversation of the wicked. It says, seeing and hearing, vexed with the righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So that's why you got to protect your eyes, your ears, your mouth. You got to protect that. And if you let your kids watching stuff that they shouldn't be watching on TV, and you're watching filthy stuff, and you're hearing filthy stuff, guess what? It's going to vex you. And you're going to say, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. And you know what they always say, what parents do in moderation, the children do in excess. For the righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day and their unlawful deeds. It was Lot. You know what? You read over in your Bible and you read in Hebrews chapter 11. You read over there and you find Lot was a righteous man. You know what? With you and me, we look at him, but you know what? We're just like him. We're just like him. We got to guard against it. We got to fight against it. God's not going to deliver you from temptation. He's going to let you face it. And he's going to give you a way out, but he's going to let you face it. How you do, what you do with it, is up to you. The old saying is, temptation, if not resisted, soon becomes necessary. If you don't resist temptation, it becomes necessary. Watch out for temptation. The more you see it, the better it looks. That's what happened with Eve. That woman sold us out. She sold us out for a grape. My Lord. The more she looked at it, the more the devil talked to her, the better it looked. The old saying is, no speed record's ever been broken running from temptation. So we're all in the same boat. Look on down. Look at verse 8. Look what it says. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day. You know what? What scares me right now is so many people confined to the house. And people get, all they want to do is watch movies. We got the most movie-est society there ever was. You got to be entertained. What about working? What about working? What about cleaning? What about those things? Everybody's got to watch a movie. If you're at home and you're watching this, please don't sit around and take your time and you watch hours and hours and hours of movies and you watch 30 minutes of preaching, 35, 40 minutes of preaching, and you're watching all that. Yes, you know what it's going to do? It's going to vex your righteous soul. So when the church opens back up, you're going to say, I ain't going to church. All they preach about is sin. All they talk about is getting right with God. You say, all you got to do is look around. Look around the Christians. Look at what they're doing. Look where they're at. Look what's happening in their lives. You know what? You think the devil is your friend. You say, well, I wouldn't serve the devil. Well, you are. You are. You sit there and watch all these movies coming out of Hollywood and all that stuff, and, you know, we all guilty of it. I'm not pointing my finger at you. I'm pointing at all of us. But don't get to a place where movies control everything. The spirit's willing, flesh is weak. And the more you see, the more you want to see. I'm guilty, just like you are. We're guilty. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The Lord knows how to deliver you. But if you just trotting along, doing what you know what Lot's excuse was? He said, if I go to that city, he said, they're going to kill me. Maybe God's going to burn that city up. But he ends up in a cave by himself. You know, everybody wants to be isolated. I'm going to be isolated. He ends up in a cave, and he was his own worst enemy. Yeah. You're your own worst enemy. You got to realize that. All flesh is grass. I mean, man, you know what? You know, the Bible says all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and pride of life. You know, the lust of the flesh is the one that destroys us. Amen. That's what hurts us. It's not the world. The world's constantly, we knew what the world's going to do. They always saying that you never sink a ship unless the water gets in the ship. And what happened in church is the world's got into the church. Amen. And it's got in our lives. Amen. We're all guilty. God's not going to deliver you from temptation. He'll make a way to escape. You got to cry out to him. Lord, help me. I can't finish the message, but we'll stop right there. Father, help us, Lord God. Temptations come. Help. I think the greatest thing we could do is first thing in the morning read our Bibles and pray, the Lord lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And help our eyes and our hearts, Lord God, be looking towards you. And the Bible says, look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. We're not looking up. I had a brother call me last night. He believes the rapture is going to take place any minute. And it could. It could happen. And I wasn't discouraging that. I'm saying, don't get so caught up where you can't witness to people. All you can do is walk around with your head in the sky looking up. We're supposed to look up. But help us not to be looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at. Help us, God. Help cleanse us. Cleanse our eyes. Cleanse our hearts. Cleanse our hands. Cleanse our feet. Cleanse our whole body. Like Peter said, not just my feet, Lord, my whole body. Cleanse us, Lord. Help us to stay busy about the Father's business so we don't get into temptation and fall into temptation. Help us stay busy, Lord. And we'll thank you, God, for what you're going to do. Now, bless my brothers and sisters today. Bring us back tonight at the appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen.